Let's pray. Father in heaven, hide me behind the cross today. It's a privilege and joy to share your word, and I know it will accomplish what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Making a lasting impact. Making a lasting impact. Let's think about that. What are people going to say about you? I'm going to say, well, I don't know. Well, what kind of lasting legacy are you going to leave? I think there was a song like that on the Christian radio station about leaving a legacy. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? What are people going to say about you? Well, listen to the message today, and it could be good. It could be good. We all impact others, whether we're aware of it or not. You are impacting others. It's written in the scriptures that you are living epistles, known and read of all men. People are watching you. Your family's watching you. Your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. And there's always somebody watching you. It's God Almighty. He's watching you. The degree that we affect people has a lot to do with our sphere of influence. Some of you, a lot of you know, have a lot of people you know. Maybe some of you, depending on what you do for a living, don't get to see many people. If you're in business by yourself and work at a shop, then your influence is not quite as much, but people come to see you. You do work for them. But so it really has a lot to do with your sphere of influence, your opportunities that God gives and presents to each and every one of us. All of us touch other people's lives, whether for good or for bad, hopefully for good. And as Christians, we can certainly make a spiritual impact because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We're unique, as I said before on often sermons. We are uniquely created by God for his purposes. We were born and put in this particular place and time for a purpose, for a reason. Some of you might still be looking for your reason. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Why things happen the way they did? Only God knows that. But he did tell us here in Matthew that you are the salt of the earth. We are different. We are separate from the world. In this culture, society that's so characterized by sin and everything else that's going on, we are warned in Romans 12:2 not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we relate to the world as salt does with the substance in which it touches. So I'm going to talk about six things that salt does. How many of you like salt, by the way? How many of you can't use salt anymore because of your health condition? Yeah, that's what I thought. I do like salt, too. Didn't realize how salty a country ham was until, you know, I grew up with it. That's how I grew up with it. We cured our own hams and shoulders and bacons. I remember Mother making the salt brine in a little wash tub, and she'd put an egg in it. And I'd say, well, how do you know how much salt? Well, when the egg floats, and how much does the egg have to float? Does anybody remember? Enough space that you can do what on top of it? You lay a coin on it. What's the size coin? Quarter. Well, you like more salt. That's okay. You ain't going to worry about them hams. They're going to be cured. Okay, just a little illustration of what salt does. It's interesting that the Lord used this subject of salt, salt flavors. That's the first thing we have about salted flavors. It has the power to turn what seems to be tasteless into something very enjoyable. And it's the same way that we bring flavor to a world that's filled with people whose lives are empty and void because they don't know Jesus like you do. People need the Lord. There's so many people need the Lord. I'm so glad today that I could sing that song. It is well with my soul. People need the Lord. Salt preserves. In Roman times, salt was a very valuable commodity. It was the only means of preserving food. And we as Christians have a very similar preserving influence in the corrupt world that we live. Our witness can help turn on believers to Christ and preserve them from the decay of sinful choices. You can help them because you know Jesus. Help them. Share with them when you can what the Lord's done in your life. Salt penetrates. The Holy Spirit uses our example to witness the truth into the heart of those who need Jesus. We're living examples of that. Salt creates thirst. How many people are you making thirsty for Jesus? Huh? Are you making anybody thirsty for Jesus? Be careful now how you live your life. Some people are always watching. And you know what I hear sometimes? I don't go to church. There's too many hypocrites in church. That's the best place for you. Janessa sang a song called Making Mistakes. We all make them. And we'll continue to make them till the Lord calls us home. You see, this is a place where everybody here makes mistakes. I'm in good company, aren't I? You see, we all make mistakes. We're not perfect. We're forgiven. That's what makes the difference. Salt penetrates. It creates thirst. We're living examples of spiritual transformation, joy, peace, and love, and contentment that only Christ can give us. It's attractive to thirsty souls whom the Spirit is drawing to the Savior. You'd be surprised how many people need Jesus. There's so many that need him. There's so many. My first year of Bible college, I didn't think I was so happy. I left my love in Pennsylvania, and I didn't think I was so happy. But I had a police officer, and I told you this before, come up to me at the end of one of our shifts at Handy Andy Grocery Store, and he wanted to talk to me. You know what it was? He wanted to know what made me so happy. He said, Jerome here, he goes to a college nearby in Texas, but he ain't happy and whistling and jubilant and happy like you are. I want to know what makes you so happy. So I had a chance to share with Jesus with him. I don't know this day if he got saved, but I hope he did. But I had a chance to share Jesus with him. Jesus is what makes me happy. He forgave me and allows me to do what I do today. Salt is quiet. Fifthly, salt is quiet. Sometimes God draws people through the quiet means of just observation. People are observing you. You don't have to, I want to preach. It's not all about that. Sometimes it's just the quiet life you live. People can still learn something from it. So it's quiet. They see good godly behavior. They see your gracious responses to things. They see your patient endurance, and their hearts become open to the gospel. Sixthly, salt heals, gives relief to a sore throat. How many of you ever gargled with salt for a sore throat? Huh? Sure. It's a natural thing God gave us. It's wonderful. There's more natural things if we just find out what they are. God's given us all to us for it, things of our body, because he made us, he created us. Yes, salt heals. It's a relief to a sore throat. And so we're called to offer healing to a broken world, compassion and kindness, maybe just a listening ear to let hurting people experience our Christ's love through you. Maybe they just need a listening ear. Be that listening ear for somebody. They just want you to hear what they have to say because they're hurting. And they want to talk to somebody. You ever been there? I've been there. They're hurting. They want somebody to talk to. They need somebody. Be a listening ear. Just listen to them. We think about many times when the Lord takes somebody home, that we have to talk to somebody or say something. That's not always the case. You know, I thought as a pastor, I always had to say something to them. But I realized through the years that I don't always have to open my mouth. Sometimes just crying with them and giving them a hug is all I need to do. Just let them know that I know what it's like. I've been there. I know what it's like to lose somebody close to me. I've been there. I know what it's like. And sometimes you just want to sit there and cry with them. Give them a hug. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. He'll tell you what to do. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people. Verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5. You still with me? Somebody say amen. Still with me? We got something else to talk about. We're going to talk about the light. You are the light of the world, verse 14. According to 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, John 9:5. And that he declared to those who trusted him as Savior, you are the light of the world. And then he added in verse 14, your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven, verse 16. You see, our light isn't our own. It is a reflection of Christ within us. And he uses that light to draw people to himself, not to us. So he alone receives the glory. We impact the people around us just as light does with darkness. So I have six things about light. Light is clear and light is pure. And so should our lives characterize purity and clarity. The person we are in public ought to be the same person we are in private. Light reveals what's hidden in the darkness. We're characterized by godliness because we have been forgiven and we're to reflect the light of Jesus in our lives. Those who are unrighteous will see the difference between their lives and ours. And so sometimes they will feel guilty because they know they're not living as they should. And others might ask us why our lives are so different. And so that opens the door for us to share the gospel with them, because they've seen something in your life that's different. And I pray it would be that way with all of you, that people around you will see that your life really is different. Make them thirsty for Jesus. Are you making people thirsty for him? Make them thirsty for him. Light drives away darkness. That's why people, sometimes when they get around us, they become uncomfortable around us, because they feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And by your life, they know they should be doing something different too. But you know what? They don't want to change their lives because they're enjoying the life they're living. But the Bible says sin is only pleasurable for a season. It only lasts for a season. It only lasts for a season. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. But you see, sometimes the Lord uses the light in us to drive them from the darkness to salvation. And then light guides. God uses us like a lamp to guide us, the unbelievers, onto that path of truth. Light warns. Without light, we can't see the obstacles before us. You ever try to stumble around in a room with darkness, you couldn't find the switch? Man, that's pretty rough. You see, light reveals the obstacles, the problems. You can see. You'd be surprised how many people are groping in darkness today because there's no light. They're stumbling. They have all kinds of obstacles that's coming in their life, but they don't see it. They don't see it. It's sad, but someday they will. How devastating it might be for them. You see, we need to be spiritual so we can help them. We can warn them that they're in danger and they need the Savior. And then light warms. We should never be cold and unfeeling toward those who are trapped in darkness. They need to know that we care. We care. You know, I believe that the people sensed the love in Jesus. That's why they were so drawn to him. Like no other man they ever heard or witnessed or heard speak, Jesus was different than those religious leaders were. You know, they talked a lot, but they had no feeling for you. They could sense that. They could care less about you. But this man spoke with authority and love. What a combination. He spoke with authority and love. And that was the difference. People loved to be around him. They followed him everywhere he went because they sensed and felt this love that was so different from all the rest. He loved everybody. He was the creator. Why wouldn't he love everybody? That's why he's not willing that any should perish. He created everybody. And he wants them to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He loves them all, even more than you do. He loves them so much. While Jesus was in the world, he was the light of the world in John 9:5. Now he's at the Father's right hand in heaven, and he has left you and me, his church, here to be the light to the world. It's the church that proclaims the word of God. It's a bright beacon showing people the way to salvation. We are the church. You are. What's missing? You are. You are the church. It's not this building with the roof over us to keep us from the elements. You are the church. You are the one. You are his hands. You're his feet. We are. Salt was made useless when it came to impurities. They would gather the salt by the sea, by the ocean. And a lot of times when they'd gather it, they had a lot of dirt and impurities with it in Roman days. It's how they gathered it. But there was a lot of impurities with it. And of course, the Lord refers to that. If there's so many impurities, the salt will lose its savor. Light becomes ineffective if it doesn't shine brightly. Sin in our lives is like a suit covering the globe of a lantern, the soot that's there. It's like a short wick that barely flickers. We need to be clear and strong light so we can impact the lost world with the knowledge of Christ, and the world needs Jesus. People truly, truly need the Lord. If you were the only Christian someone knew, would they see the light of Jesus in you? And would they want to know Jesus? What kinds of impurities are keeping you from being the salt and light of the world? How have you been distracted by the world's values? What sins are you tolerating in your life? If you're tolerating these things, your light's not shining bright and your salt has lost its savor. Do the people at work or in your neighborhood know that you're a believer? How is your life different from those who are around you? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this message. Thank you. I pray, Lord, that every one of us will be saltier. May we be saltier. May we be reminded that people are watching our lives and we need to let your light shine through our hearts and our lives. May they see you. May they feel your love. May they see your love in our lives. And you told us that we need to be a light. Sometimes we like to hide our light. Maybe sometimes we might feel a little awkward or a little ashamed. But Lord, you said we're not to be ashamed. For if we're ashamed of you, you'll be ashamed of us. So Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Help us to boldly proclaim your word. Help us, Lord, to let our light shine and not hide them under a bushel. But may we reflect your light in our lives when people are around us. May they sense and feel and see these things in each of our lives. Lord, I pray it happens in my life, and I pray it happens in the lives of each and every one that's here today. Make them saltier and make them brighter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.